from St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking. Steve Ellman is about to reach his 20th year as St. Charles County Executive. And after initially deciding against running for another term, the Republican decided to jump back into a closely watched August 4th primary. Ellman joins us on the latest episode of Politically Speaking to talk about why he should remain in his job and the challenge of sustaining St. Charles County's growth. Let's hit the music.
This is the Politically Speaking podcast, the definitive show about Missouri politics.
Let's go back to some of those policies, to that peace and prosperity that we had some 4 to 5 years ago.
Everywhere is Democratic country once this Democrat's been there.
There are a lot of things in Washington that are very bipartisan, including some bills that I've already gotten passed.
And I think it works best when you can see both sides, but you have to pick one, and I firmly align with the Republicans.
But certainly, I think if she's running against one of the crazy dudes, certainly it's going to be a lot easier.
But I'll take wisdom and age and a few missteps in oratory over somebody who has no substance.
I believe that you represent the party's values and you move forward, and that's what I have done.
And welcome to Politically Speaking. I'm your host, St. Louis Public Radio politics correspondent Jason Rosenbaum. Joining us in studio today, he is St. Charles County's executive since 2006 and is hoping to remain in that job until 2030. Our guest today is
Steve Ellman.
Thank you for coming back on the show.
Yeah, it's only been since 2007.
2007.
I was elected in 2006.
That's right. I often forget that.
But I was director of administration for 3 years before I got the job.
Well, that was
I had 3 years of on-the-job training.
That was going to be my first question. You kind of stole my thunder. You've been on the show before, but we want to give people in St. Charles County a sense of who these candidates are. So who is Steve Ellman? What did he do before he got into county politics? And what do you think your biggest accomplishments have been in roughly 20 years?
Well, he was a public school teacher for 7 years and then decided to go back to law school when he was 32 years old. Started practicing law, got involved in Republican politics, ran for the Missouri House, was elected, started in 89. Served for 4 years, went into the House with John Hancock.
Uh-huh.
He and I went in the same, and this is a great story, Jason. He and I went in on the same day, and of course, at that point, freshman Republicans were at the very bottom of the food chain, right?
Yes.
And then besides that, we had to draw for seniority within the caucus.
Mm.
And I was second from the bottom, and John was on the bottom. So we got the two worst offices, but I made a friend who's been a great friend for the last 30 years.
But you never got banished to the basement, right?
No.
I feel like one of the Democrats who challenged Bob Griffith got, like, had to stay in the parking garage or something like that, but, you know.
Well, those were the bad old days.
Those were not great days for Republicans. So you mentioned you were direct. You before you were county, the director of county administration. You were actually a judge for a while. Correct?
Yeah, I was. After I left the House, I was Senate for 8 years. The last 4 years as Republican floor leader, and then was a judge for 3 years. Actually, gave up 5 years on a 6-year term as a circuit judge, because I found being a judge very depressing. Every day sending more people to prison, I felt like I wanted to get back in a position where I could help those people before somebody had to send them to prison. So that's why I got back into county government.
And what do you think, like, your biggest accomplishments are in roughly 20 years in office?
Well, I think continued growth in St. Charles County. That started when I was a kid, and it's been going on ever since. That growth is possible only because of two things, good schools and safe neighborhoods, and you know, as a teacher, I did what I could for good schools. And as county executive, I've done as much as I can to make sure those neighborhoods are safe. We have a great police department. They work with our municipal police departments. We got the lowest crime rate in the area. I think that's a great accomplishment. We found that people will move to St. Charles if they have those two things, even though the infrastructure isn't always ready to when they get there. So the most important thing maybe that that county government has done, but we did the same thing on a state level, working with MoDOT to get bridges built so that people wouldn't have to sit in a parking lot in Earth City 30 years ago before waiting to get home to their families. And of course, we've had road board projects. We've if we hadn't built the infrastructure, people would have quit coming, and we still have challenges ahead of us. Big challenge right now is getting that third lane on I-70 completed in St. Charles County. Mm-hmm. Highway N is one of those roads that used to be a farm-to-market road, and now it's got subdivisions popping up all around, and we're going to need to get that fixed. So transportation really has been a big part of it.
When I talked with you a couple of years ago, you had announced you were not going to run for re-election, but you clearly changed your mind because you're one of three major candidates in the Republican primary. What pushed you back into the fray?
Well, I felt given the people who were running, especially former Senator Igel, it was necessary for me just to defend everything that my team has been able to accomplish over the last 20 years. And what I found is that particular opponent has been not really attacking the things that I've done, but talking about things I haven't done. And that's been one of the real challenges, Jason. I've got to convince the people, unlike my opponent, that the county executive has certain parameters on which to operate. And you're an executive, you're not a dictator. All the power, as you know, and I think most voters know, the power that a county or a city has comes from the legislature. Mm-hmm. It's kind of ironic. You know, most people start in a city or a county position. They get in their job and they realize their hands are tied because they don't have the power to do something. And they say, well, shoot, I'm going to run for the General Assembly. I'm going to go be a legislature because I want to give the counties or the cities more power. Mm-hmm. Well, Senator Igel did just the opposite. He was in Jefferson City, had 8 years to give the county more power, to give MoDOT more power, to get some things done, and he didn't. And now he thinks just because he is elected county executive, he can make some things happen that he can't. One of the things he wants to make happen, and one of the criticisms he has, is we got too many apartments in St. Charles County. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, we for 3 years in the early 2020s, we did have 40% of the apartments, 40% of the new residences were apartments.
But I imagine all of them were being built in municipalities that the county has no effect on.
Exactly, exactly. In 19 years, the county has approved one apartment complex. But he suggests that somehow the county executive, me, during that period, could have put pressure on the cities and gotten them not to approve these things, and has gone so far to suggest that if he's elected, he's going to use leverage, the leverage of transportation funding, to get cities to do what he thinks they ought to do. Mm-hmm. Now, this is one of the real problems I think that we have, and that is we've had a lot of breakdown of custom and tradition, okay? Aside from the fact that legislatures do things or don't do things, there's a lot of things that happen because of tradition. You know, Congress started all this when they refused to. Once their caucus approved a speaker, they went against tradition and voted against him. in Jeff City, we have this tradition, which you're very familiar with, of filibuster in the Senate.
Yep.
It's in the rules. It's allowed. There's a way to stop it. The tradition, though, is you allow people to filibuster, and it's a tradition. But Senator Igel got there and abused that tradition, didn't use it as it had been used in the past to make a bill better, but basically used it to kill bills with the idea of getting other legislation passed. Yeah. That was a bad example. Now, he wants to do the same sort of thing on the county level. For years, when I was in Jeff City, we had a great tradition in among the county delegation, and Ted House was there with me. We served together, Republicans, Democrats. The other people used to say, "Hey, you guys from St. Charles, you fight on some things, but on transportation, you're always on the same page and working together." And we did. And in county government, we've got a system with a road board and a county transportation tax. And the cities and the county make recommendations to the road board. We have peer review by engineers. We have input from the public. And then this road board, which represents everybody, makes a decision on where the roads should be fixed and where they can wait. Mm-hmm. And in the 20 years I've been there, the road board recommendations are sent to me. I have not changed them. I've sent them to the council, and the council has approved it. Because we have not used leverage on the road board to achieve other purposes, the last time we asked the people to approve that tax, we got 78%. This is in a conservative county.
This is a sales tax, right?
This is a sales tax,
yeah.
And it can be used only for transportation.
Yeah.
But if we start using, or the next county executives, you know, we were in court against St. Peter's over levies and TIFs and other things. We were fighting about other things, but it never impacted St. Peter's ability to get their fair share from the county road board. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, it'd be perfectly legal to leverage that transportation dollars, but it wouldn't be wise, and it would totally screw up a system I think has worked very well.
So you mentioned that one of your motivations to getting back into the race was making sure that former Senator Igel didn't win. What was wrong with Mike Elam or Jason Law, who were both in the race?
Yeah, and for a year and a half, I tried to get it down to a single person running against him, mm-hmm. and they could make that happen. At one point, I had a lot of people wanting me to get back in. I told them I didn't want to. I did promise one of them, a big supporter and good friend, and I promised, listen, a year out, if the polling shows I'm the only one that can beat Igel, I'll get in.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. We did polling a year ago.
You don't think Jason Law can beat Igel?
No, I don't.
Okay. Even though, like,
I've asked Jason every time I see Jason, I say, Jason, do you have a poll yet that shows you can beat Bill Igel? And he's never produced that poll.
I ask this because I think that this race is being watched by just more than people in St. Charles County.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the governor's political team is heavily involved because they do not want Igel to win and then run against Mike Keough for governor. And like all of them are on Jason Law's team. I don't think any of them are on yours. So they clearly see him as a more viable candidate.
The governor's team?
Yeah.
I would dispute that.
Okay.
I think the governor has stayed out of it.
Yeah, but there are several people who worked for his political campaign who are working for Jason Law. And I understand there may be some people.
There's people that worked on his campaign,
yeah,
that are working for mine.
I'm going to take a step back. Like, every political consultant in Missouri basically worked for Mike Keough because he is just so beloved by people.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you on that. But my point is, like, it does seem like there's a lot of interest in this race because – you're not the only one who doesn't want Bill Igel to win. Do you think that's fair? And by not the only one, I mean the governor doesn't want him to win because he doesn't want to run in a Republican primary against him in 2028.
I think that's probably true.
So let's talk more about issues. You mentioned about safe streets and good schools. And I think a lot of that has been possible because of St. Charles County's growth over the last 20 years. When you have lots of people moving to a place, you have more tax dollars, you can fund schools and law enforcement and infrastructure more. But you have told me in the past that you are really concerned that the region's stagnant population growth as a whole is going to threaten St. Charles County long term. What can you do as county executive to make sure St. Charles County doesn't backslide because of those factors?
Well, I think, again, what I've said is we're doing well, and we'll continue to do well for a while. But yeah, we've got to get the region moving. And a big part of the job of county executive, I mean, I've got a great team, and they can take care of a lot of the local stuff. A lot of the local stuff I don't even need to get involved in. I am very involved, and whoever is the next county executive will need to be very involved in what's going on at East West Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
Because East West Gateway is where we decide where the resources go. We're spending a lot of time right now talking about economic development. I've always tried to emphasize the fact that we should be putting tax dollars for transportation in the places that people want to live and where people want to create jobs. 50% of the population growth in the last 10 years has been in St. Charles County, and 75% of the job growth has been in St. Charles County. Now, you know, I don't care where people live or work, and a lot of people live in one county and work in another. I mean, going back to the TIF wars, I thought that was so totally ridiculous how we were spending money moving malls around the area and not creating any additional jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's important we have a regional approach. We understand that if there's a problem in the city, eventually it's going to be a problem in St. Charles County.
Do you think, though, that St. Charles County has to offer more amenities than just housing stock, good schools, and just safety? And this is a subjective argument, but one of the reasons why I live in St. Louis County, and admittingly close to the city, is I have small children. They like to go to parks. St. Louis County has a very robust park system. We live close enough to the Zoo Museum District, which we pay into, and St. Charles County doesn't, which we've talked about ad nauseum. Is there other—
Want to talk about that?
Yeah, I will after I make my point here.
Okay.
Do you think that St. Charles County government needs to do things like build parks or support entertainment amenities to make sure that people move there and want to stay there?
Boy, I can't believe you asked that question, because our park system is one of my pride and joys.
Well, that's sort of why I was asking that question. I
yeah.
knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. and you know, when I first took the job 20 years ago, I asked our park director, I said, how many acres do we need so we will have the same ratio of acres to people as St. Louis County? And
yeah.
she told me, I forget what it was, 3,000 yeah. or something like that. Anyway, we've passed that a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of acreage, the problem is we got 40,000 more people.
Yeah.
So, but we actually are this close to passing up St. Louis County, and I don't know, just some recent things. Mm-hmm. We've got Spring Bend Park is going to open. It's right there, as you cross the Page Avenue Bridge. It's mm-hmm. going to open later this month. I believe. And then we've got the project we did with Great Rivers Habitat Alliance, 800 acres of conservation area. We've got Kinetic Park, which we spent a lot of money improving. No, we have I'll put our park system up against anybody's.
So, yeah, let's talk about regional buy-in. So
let me. And the other thing on that, too.
Yeah.
You mentioned the fact, you know, that we don't contribute to the ZMD.
Yeah.
We made an effort 12 years ago when the zoo was looking at doing a conservation area, and they needed 450 acres. We had 350,
yeah.
bought another 100, and we offered it to the ZMD plus $1 million a year to help maintain it if they would put the conservation area out there. And they considered it but said no. Instead, they asked the people to raise the taxes in St. Louis County, and they bought the property out in North County, which is fine. But I just want people to understand.
Yeah.
We did polling at that time, and people were not willing to send money to the St. Louis institutions, but they were more than willing to be part of the effort if at least part of their money would stay in St. Charles.
So the reason I bring that up is I think a criticism that you often hear, mainly from St. Louis city leaders, is people like you go to East West Gateway and want to have a lot of say over the region's direction, which you should, because 400 more people live in St. Charles County now than St. Louis City. But, and I'm not saying there is no financial buy-in because you're part of Great Rivers Greenway, but the voters have decided multiple times they don't want to financially contribute to other regional initiatives. Do you, like, take the Zoo Museum and Metro aside, because it's clear that the voters don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there going to have to eventually be some financial buy-in for some larger regional initiatives, whether it be crime or homelessness or whatever some of the big problems are? St. Charles County people may have to directly contribute financially to them.
Well, it's called the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I'm proudest of the last couple years is the effort by St. Louis, St. Charles County, Franklin County, and Jefferson County executives to go. We went to Jeff City. We got $50 million for a regional training facility for our police. And that's something that ordinarily each jurisdiction would be responsible for, and everybody would be doing, you know, doing something a little bit different. That's something that everybody's going to profit by, including people all over the state. So we were able to get state financing for a regional project, and I'm very optimistic that if we can show that this works, we can use this model of working together with state and local funds if we need to put them in there, but working together and doing things regionally instead of having every political subdivision out there spending taxpayers' money duplicating each other.
So the city and the county about 10 years ago, not quite 10 years ago, passed dedicated sales taxes for public safety. It was bigger in the county because there's more people. They were both called Proposition P. I don't think St. Charles County ever passed anything like that, correct?
No, we didn't. And that's interesting you bring that up because, you know, of course, you know, Igel wants to go ahead and cut the county budget and basically use the money to pay people's personal property tax.
Which we'll get to in a little bit, but continue.
Yeah. We do not have an earmarked sales tax for law enforcement. Mm. We do have earmarked sales taxes for our parks, for transportation, and for capital funds. So, you know, if the county council and the county executive wants to sell the family arena, that's fine. I've always been open to that possibility. It was done before I got there. Didn't work out the way it was supposed to in the first place. But you know what? If you sell the family arena, that money has to go back into the capital fund.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be used to pay off some other building in the future. If you want to sell the NEC, that was bought with Parks Fund. Mm-hmm. So you can sell it, or you cannot spend parks funds, but the money you make from selling it would have to go back into the parks funds. In the same way, the third big grouping is the transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can cut money out of transportation, but you can't use it on law enforcement or something else. So here's the deal. 80% of our budget is tied up and has to be used for specific purposes. That leaves 20%, and 69% of that 20% goes to the law enforcement.
Yeah.
So the only thing you could really cut big time and make any revenue is law enforcement.
So where I was getting at with that question is, I think with any place that is growing in population, there's going to probably be an increase in crime naturally. So my question is, do you think there will have to eventually be a dedicated sales tax to help either the St. Charles County Police Department or also to provide extra funds for the municipal ones? Or is that just not something that you perceive being needed?
I hope it's not needed. I will tell you that 4 years ago, we had a meeting with the mayors. We took them through the jail. We were thinking that we were going to have to go to the voters and ask for a tax increase to improve our jail, to make it larger. And as it turns out, we didn't have to do that. All the ARPA money that came in, we took a big chunk of the ARPA money that came in. And yes, even though our crime rate has gone down each of the last 5 years, the number of people in our jail goes up because there's more people. We got two interstate highways going through the county. A lot of, 70% of the people in our jail on a given day aren't even from St. Charles County.
Yeah.
But the other thing is we had the opioid lawsuit settlement, and we're going to get $18 million over 19 years. We have taken some of the ARPA money in our jail. We have created a facility where we can start treating people who are addicted, people with mental health problems, and we're going to take that opioid settlement money to basically run that on a year-to-year basis. But the answer to your problem is, we were at a position we thought we were going to have to ask for more money, but luckily we haven't had to. So there we are.
Okay. We need to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll continue our conversation with St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman.
Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, providing exterior solutions for homes with faded, cracked, or outdated siding. Details at callmosby.com.
And we're back on Politically Speaking with St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman. He is one of three major Republican candidates in the August 4th primary. I want to move on to data centers. It seems that St. Charles, the city, not the county, was one of the first major flashpoints for data centers. I don't think there was ever a data center built there. There are two huge data centers being built in Montgomery County, which is right next to St. Charles County. How do you kind of – it seems like this is a tricky issue that a lot of politicians of every level are dealing with. On the one hand, there seems to be like we have to face reality that if they're not built in – certain places, they're going to be built elsewhere. Whether they're not built in America, they'll be built in China. They're not built in St. Charles, they'll be built in Montgomery County. But these things are huge. They take up a lot of power. I know the water usage has gotten better. And I think that just people don't really have a lot of comfort with artificial intelligence. And for better or for worse, data centers are associated with that. So that's a long windup. But how do you kind of approach this very passionate but not black and white issue?
Very carefully. The area that was proposed for this particular settlement, this particular project, was in the city of St. Charles. They came and talked to us about it. We went to some meetings about it. I was asked my position on it, and I said I want to wait until I hear both sides, but we live a half a mile from the project, and my wife is very much against it.
Sounds pretty NIMBY-ish, but continue.
Yeah. And so were some of the other people on my staff, knock on wood here, but we've been lucky so far. Nobody has proposed one in St. Charles County, and we have taken the opportunity to study it on a general basis. Okay, and that's a great advantage. And we probably are going to do some sort of a moratorium and give us a time to study it before somebody brings one to us, because that study, we'll get plenty of people come in and talk against it, and we'll get plenty of people come in to talk for it. But once you have a specific project, then 90% of the people who show up are the neighbors, and we know the neighbors are always going to be against it.
Yeah.
So what I think we need to do, and what a lot of people need to do, is let's study this thing objectively, without a particular spot in mind. Let's decide what, if we're going to have this, what we need, A, B, C, and D. And then when they actually bring a proposal, we can take that knowledge and apply it, hopefully make a rational decision and not one just based upon, a bunch of neighbors that show up and complain.
Can the county government even ban data centers that are within municipalities?
No, they
don't even have the power to do that. So this would only be for unincorporated parts of St. Charles County, correct?
That's correct.
I mean, okay, my question about parks showed my ignorance of St. Charles County, but how much of St. Charles County is unincorporated at this point? Is there a large portion, or is it pretty small now because the cities have annexed
it's a small portion of the area of the county that's developable. Developable, okay?
Yes.
And we've got, some people out, some cities out there that I think tend to compete against each other, seeing who can grow the fastest.
Yeah.
We're not compete as a county. I don't want to compete against St. Louis County. We need to grow the entire region. But we're never going to have a million people like St. Louis County does, because 43% of St. Charles County is floodplain.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything there. Another 10% or so is in the Femisage watershed, and you've been out to Augusta. Beautiful area.
Beautiful.
Man, you know,
beautiful.
Hilly, forested, rocky soil. The only good farm ground is the floodplain of the creeks. That area is always going to be 5-acre lots. Okay, so there's really only a small part of the county that's still developable. It's in the Darden Creek watershed. Mm-hmm. The Decker Creek Sewer District just finished a brand new plant there that's going to be financed by the people in the district, and they're anticipating a certain number of houses there in the future to retire those bonds. But the growth is not unlimited. But the fact of the matter is that the way the annexation statutes are written, if we deny a particular developer what they think they need to make their project work, and they're adjacent to a city, they can simply voluntarily annex into the city.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happened to a large extent. Our county council has been very, very conservative on not just apartments, but on any kind of high density thing. But it hasn't stopped it. It just allowed the cities to grow and get bigger.
You kind of alluded to this earlier, but you've been very critical of former Senator Igel's pledge to, quote, eliminate the personal property tax in Charles County. Before I ask you about why, is that even possible? I've never heard of a county trying to do this before. So
no, going back to what I said before, I'm not a dictator. Whoever takes my place will not be a dictator. Property taxes are a big problem. Okay.
Yeah.
But St. Charles County is a tiny part of that big problem. Our property tax rate that goes to the general fund has been at zero for the last 11 years. We started eliminating it years ago as more and more sales tax came in. We cut the property tax, and it has not been there at all. Now, we remember 3 years ago when all the personal property went so through the ceiling because of used car rates and all that sort of stuff. We froze the amount of personal property tax. We lowered the rate, so we collected the same amount, and we've collected that same amount the last 3 years. We gave up about $800,000 a year windfall because we didn't think it was fair. Now, as you know, going back to Senate Bill 711, 12 years ago, which was designed to keep property taxes lower, we have to every year pass a resolution, and we did in March, saying what is our intent as far as property taxes are concerned. They don't have to be set until September, but our resolution, we are going to cut the personal property tax coming to the county entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So we have done everything you can do to eliminate personal property tax. He thinks that somehow the county can pay the property taxes that people, individuals owe to other jurisdictions. Like, you know the Constitution.
Yeah.
You can't use public funds for a private purpose. But again, let's just say that you could. 80% of the budget you can't touch, and the 20% that's left goes mainly to law enforcement. So, you know, we've had two debates on other radio stations, and I love to debate policy, and I'll debate Senator Igel or anybody on policy all the time. But the problem is the debate is more about the facts, and here are the facts, and when I present them to him, he still contends that this is possible.
Would you want a do-over of sorts for the tax freeze that failed in April? That was another thing that Igel said he wanted. And I'm not trying to give him rhetorical credit here, but it is accurate to say that was a very low turnout election. And you could make an argument that maybe the outcome would be different in a higher turnout election. And also, to play devil's advocate, I live in St. Louis County. The use tax failed 3 or 4 years ago. We're voting on it again. It is not wholly unusual to vote on something that fails multiple times. What's your sort of thought about that with those caveats I just mentioned?
It's going to be up to the legislature. Mm-hmm. Again, we can't put it on the ballot and ask people if they want to do that. We were allowed to do it. We didn't have to, but we were allowed to do it for seniors. And we were one of the first counties in the whole state. Yeah, we put it on for seniors. I supported that. We couldn't have done that without the legislature giving us the power.
Yeah.
And we, the one you're talking about now, the more recent one, applying it to everybody, that wasn't, we weren't simply allowed, we were required to do it. So the legislature, if it can allow us to, and I think if they allowed us to it with my counsel, we probably would put it on again. Mm-hmm. If they required us to do it, we'd have to.
Right.
But once again, it goes back, where does the power come from? The power to make these decisions initially is from the General Assembly, and they can then pass that power on to us to ask the people, and the people ultimately decide.
Do you think the failure of that tax freeze, coupled with the fact that a number of quote-unquote conservative school board candidates lost in April, showcase that the county is becoming less Republican?
Well, I mean, I guess the question is, what is a Republican? Because,
that is,
you know,
that
because...
Is, that, is a, because that was a good, that was a, yeah, good question,
yeah,
to my question.
There's a lot of disagreement among Republicans, mm-hmm, as there are among Democrats.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, you have the more radicals in both parties right now getting a lot of attention. And, you know, years ago, I would have thought they deserved more attention. You can make up your own decision now, but that's part of the problem is we have this primary system, and going back 100 years, primaries were supposed to be, you know, the answer to all of our problems.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I think they are our problems. You know what happened in the city? Was it in 16? And they had a low turnout primary election, and they elected a bunch of progressive Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats who, you know, the Democrats I was used to working with in Jefferson City, couldn't believe some of the things they wanted to do, including defund the police and all that. We've got the same thing right now in the Republican Party. And in fact, you know, this election we're going to have in August, the outcome, I think, is going to depend a lot on who turns out and votes.
Yeah.
Here's the amazing thing. We had 90,000 voters in St. Charles County 2 years ago that voted for Mike Keogh.
Mm-hmm.
That did not vote in the Republican primary that year. So I think what you have is a lot of people out there who maybe used to think of themselves as Republicans. They're not sure anymore. They still vote Republican in November when the alternative is extremist on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
But you know, if we can get a good turnout, And, you know, the same thing you were mentioning with the turnout in March. It would have been better if it had been
April, but yes, continue.
Or April. Yeah. It would have been better if they'd had a bigger turnout. So I'm hoping for a big turnout because whoever wins, just like whoever wins the Democrat primary in the city, whoever wins the Republican primary in St. Charles County, at least for now, is pretty sure to be the next county executive. So I just want everybody to vote and hopefully take a Republican ballot and vote.
I have two fun questions that I'm going to ask all the candidates. So I assume that you supported St. Charles County being in one congressional district as opposed to being split in half, because that's been like I remember talking with Tom Dempsey about this, you know, 15 years ago.
I did forever. I mean, yeah. Everybody did. I actually considered running back in 2000 in that race where there were five Republican candidates. I would have been the sixth.
Okay, so here's the curveball question. Because of that Louisiana Supreme Court case, there's a lot of talk about splitting the first district into multiple pieces and trying to make that a Republican-leaning district. I'm not sure how you can do that while keeping St. Charles County whole. So if you're county executive, you are going to have a say in this. Would you not want that to occur?
I hate to tell you this, but as county executive, I have absolutely no say on any of this redistricting.
Oh, man.
When I was in the House back in, it would have been 91, 92, I remember getting out the maps on the floor and start. That's before we had a computer. Everything was computerized, and you had to actually draw lines on a map and then get a calculator and add up how many people. Back then, in legislature, had some input, but the county
has none.
Has none.
Oh, that'll be a question to ask the state senators and state legislators. Final question: if you win, will you promise to serve all 4 years of your term?
Absolutely. The pledge is that I've already made is that I will not run for anything else in 2 years.
Okay.
And God willing, I will serve all 4 years of my term.
Well, you are 4 years younger than the president and 7 years younger than the last president. So you are a spring chicken.
Hey, and I'm in better shape than any of them.
I think I'm not going to comment on that because that would be weird. But, well, Mr. County Executive, thank you for, as always, for this great and stimulating conversation.
Jason, always enjoy you. You're a great interviewer and I'm available to you anytime.
For all of our stories, go to stlpr.org. And Mr. County Executive, how can people find out more about your campaign on social media or the World Wide Web?
Well, steveellman.com is our website. And you'll be hearing from us in the next month or so.
Thank you very much. Until next time, so long.
Politically Speaking is produced by Sarah Kellogg, Rachel Lipman, and me, Jason Rosenbaum. The show is edited by Fred Ehrlich. Read all of our coverage at stlpr.org. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Politically Speaking by searching the term Politically Speaking on Apple Podcasts. From St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking.
Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, creating laundry rooms with improved storage, workspace, and everyday function for one of the home's most used spaces. Inspiration at callmosby.com.